the brotherhood, playing for the guy next to you, playing for the team.
What's up, Buckeye Nation? You're tuned in to the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Tradition of Ohio State, take that serious.
These fellas were born and bred in the Buckeye State.
Buckeye Cast.
The people of Ohio, we work every day to make them proud.
Visit us at thebuckeyecast.com and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Buckeye Cast.
Buckeye Cast.
Now here's your host, Joe Warwick.
I'm proud to be part of this group. Go Bucks!
What is up? We are back. Coming at you live here Monday night. We're going to talk about this Rutgers game briefly, quickly. For the same as the Buckeyes felt, you could tell they wanted to get in and out of New Jersey quickly. And I feel the same way. We're going to get in and out of Rutgers quickly in that respect. Got to talk about these We Hate Penn State t-shirts. You guys got to visit the website, thebuckeyecast.com. These things are flying off the shelves. Nice, bright red, We Hate Penn State, right across the chest.
Hate.
Yeah, I got Sean telling you all about it. These are a must-have for this coming week. You got to order them quickly, though, and you may need to get that expedited shipping to have them before Saturday. So check out the store, get yourself a couple shirts, and show your hate for Penn State. You know, I'm always tired of hearing that bullshit. We are Penn State. Fuck all that. We hate Penn State is what I'm saying.
Jeez.
Was that a little too aggressive?
Nah, I love it.
It's this Buffalo in me. But anyways, order now. And we also have the long sleeve tees. Don't forget, check those out. So let's jump right into it, Sean. We got a lot to get into tonight. Rutgers game, 56-21. Buckeyes roll easily. 42-7 early in the third when they yanked the starters out. So from my point of view, nothing happened after the 42-7 score. Is that fair to say?
It is, and it kind of pisses me off because I took the over and covered, but I also I gave the points. Yeah. So I end up pushing on this game.
Same here, yeah. And we needed Rutgers to help us out on the cover. Sad to say.
Mm-hmm.
On the over, I should say. But yeah, Fields went for 300, his first 300-yard passing game of the season, by the way.
Is it really?
Yeah.
With a million touchdowns, he never hits 300.
Yeah. Four more TDs. So he's passing at a 31 TD to one INT clip right now. Nice little ratio there, huh?
Is that what he's at now? 31?
To one.
Good gosh.
He's ahead of Dwayne Haskins at this point last year, by the way. Nobody's talking about it.
How many did Haskins end up with?
50.
And we're where?
He's ahead of Dwayne Haskins. I don't know by how many, but that includes bowl game, Big Ten championship, the whole nine.
So you're talking about four more games where, exactly. I mean, you still have to average like five a game going
right
from here on out. Right. But is that total touchdowns or just passing touchdowns? Because he's got a few more with the legs.
Oh. I'm not sure. I have to double check those numbers.
What's he got? 6'7" with his feet?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. Chugs chipped in two more. He's passing all right. We got to talk about Olave, the smooth operator out there on the outside. Kid's making catches with his fucking ass. Ass.
That just came up on the highlight thing. I have no idea how he got that. Right. So my boy, 12 years old, and he's Olave's his guy. I'm like, look at this kid. Look how silky smooth this guy is. Mm-hmm.
If Sade was a receiver, she would be Olave.
Mm.
Yeah. Ben Vick with a couple TDs, five receptions. Probably a highlight day for him. KJ keeps chipping away at the David Boston record with four more. He's getting really close to that one.
Where's he at on that? About 50?
I'd say 10 to 12, maybe.
I love seeing him, you know, every week. Okay, he's getting four or five, but I always worry that there's going to be one of those weeks where he gets blanked.
Yeah.
And then it's going to be a struggle. Love to see him get that.
Yeah. He's had, what, it's over 40 games of at least one reception per game in a row. So he's got the streak still intact. But, yeah, he's had a few weeks where he's only had one catch.
Is that a record?
I don't know. Nobody talks about that one. I have to check on that.
That's a lot, man.
Yeah. JK chipped in two easy touchdowns. Steel Chambers and Master Teague combined for 100 yards. Defense, though, and this, keep in mind, they allowed 230 yards total offense, but Rutgers had their starters in until like middle of the fourth quarter, where we were rotating second teamers in the, you know, first drive.
Don't try and sugarcoat that.
All right.
That's bullshit regardless.
No, I'm not happy about it.
I mean, 21, I'm like, what is going on here?
We got fucking walk-ons on the fucking field, though, dude. I mean, come on.
Rutgers puts more on us than anybody all year.
Right. Yeah.
Rutgers stops our, is it 8 weeks in a row of covering?
Yeah, it did. Yeah. FAU was the last time we didn't cover.
Bastards. I knew I didn't like Rutgers.
Yeah. That weather didn't help. It was fucking cold. A little bit of wind. So we kind of sleepwalked through that game. If you can call it a 21-point first quarter, a sleepwalk.
Well, and it's about what you expected, right? We got a little sloppy on some of those things.
Got stalled on that fourth down and goal. From the one in the first half. Should have scored there. Had two cracks at it. Yep.
Against Rutgers. And frankly, Rutgers held us well below our rushing average.
Mm-hmm.
And again, maybe Ohio State was sleepwalking through this. But still, I mean, the way we play, I can't believe that Rutgers can't beat anybody ever.
I know.
You know, they think, and they're not even competitive ever.
Right. Yeah, their quarterback can run, too. Obviously, he broke off a nice 20-yard gainer there. He runs hard. He's a tough guy. I didn't know until I actually listened to the audio during the game that their coach was his high school coach last year.
Yeah. Not last year.
Well, yeah, year before, whatever.
But in high, when they were both. Nunzio. When he was in high school, yeah, that was his coach.
Nunzio. It's perfect Nunzio. For New Jersey. Is that just is. Fucking the sliced
fast,
bread?
Fast times?
I think I recognized him from The Sopranos a few years ago. But what about Wade tipping himself the INT on the second play of the game?
Sean Wade.
Ball player.
That's you know, my selfishness is a little sad that he's such a beast this year because he's going out too, right? How does Sean Wade stay at Ohio State?
Everything I hear more and more from the scouts and the draft gurus is he's one of the top corners in the draft.
Wade and Akuda?
Yeah. And he was actually filling in for Arnett this week. He slid outside. He wasn't playing the slot.
That's because he's a beast. I mean, I know Akuda gets all the love and deserves it. But Sean Wade is like a hair away. I mean, he's just as good.
Exactly. He was a five-star.
He covers. He hits you.
Yeah.
Do whatever you need.
Yep. He is a hitter, too. I love him laying out dudes on the sideline. Jeez. The kid brings the wood.
He does.
And then he forced the fumble on the next drive.
Yep.
Got in there, mixed it up, popped that fucker. And our guy, 3-6, he's my new guy, 3-6, Kayvon Pope. Back-to-back weeks with an INT. How about that?
With six tackles also.
Right. Kid's a stud.
I know. Kayvon Pope out of nowhere.
Yep. That's why, did you see Cade Stover running around out there at DN, number 16? That kid's a fucking monster, too. 6'5", 240. He had to lose weight. He had to keep weight off in high school. He's going to be a monster on DN. He's like a fucking Sam Hubbard.
Is that what they're going to move him at? I mean, yeah. I thought Cade Stover was a linebacker.
He was in high school, but he's 6'5", man. 240. I mean, and he's a freshman at 240. Imagine him next year. He'll be at 260 easily. At that size.
Maybe.
And athletic. He was a fucking all-state basketball player.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he's got to go to DN, especially with all the depth we have at linebacker. We don't need more linebackers at this point. That kid's going to be a stud, though. Like I said, we emptied the bench once again. We got walk-ons in the game. 50 guys are playing on defense, which is good. You know, getting the experience and everything.
A lot of linebackers got. I'm looking at this total right now. Malik Harrison, Kayvon Pope, Tuff Borland, Dallas Gant, Taraja Mitchell, Pete Werner. Those are our top six tacklers.
Right. Zach Harrison was in there again. Had a huge day. 3 tackles. I think he had a hit on the quarterback. Jameson Williams was in there a lot on offense. Garrett Wilson, of course. Harry Miller played a lot. You know who I like is that Craig Young at linebacker, too. He didn't get a lot of playing time, but he was out there. I noticed him flying around.
I don't know nothing about him.
Yeah, Tommy Eichenberg was out there. And Enoch Vamahi had 39 snaps on the O-line.
Oh.
Respect the Hawaiian.
It's going to be nice. We're going to lose some O-linemen, but, I mean, our O-linemen have got some serious freaking snaps this year.
Yeah. Yeah, it's good to give the starters a break, you know, keep their reps down, save them for these big games coming up.
One thing, let me interject here for you. The one thing that concerns me about this is, again, Ohio State blows out. We're 10-0, and they've all been blowouts.
Yeah.
Our guys haven't had to play 4 quarters.
Right.
And now if this all works out like I envision it, I got Penn State, Michigan, Wisconsin, Clemson, LSU, my next 5 games. Mm-hmm. The Buckeyes haven't played in the fourth quarter yet. They probably need to play in the fourth quarter of all those games.
Yeah, it's November. This is, you know, November is for champions, right? Is that what Tressel used to say? November to remember? Just to finish off this Rutgers games, 2 negatives that really stood out to me. The fucking bottle flipper, and it is still inconsistent. This is 3 games in a row where the punter has been inconsistent. He's been up and down. I know he doesn't get a lot of reps. I get it. But when called upon, we need to rely on him because, like you said, these next few 4 or 5 games, he's going to be key in flipping the field.
Well, and that's it. I mean, and that's Urban and Day and Tressel and all of them. They know in the big games,
yeah,
it's all about that field position. If you're averaging starting on the 30 and they're averaging starting on the 20, that's freaking huge.
Yep.
Over the course of a game.
Right. It's rare that you lose that field position battle and win a game. That's key. The other one was Garrett Wilson muffing that punt. Obviously, a rookie mistake. And kind of a WTF are you doing? I know you probably saw an open lane, but there's like 4 or 5 guys around you for the other team. You probably should just eat it.
Yeah, I don't know. You know, it seems like everybody has done this that does it. I feel like we yank the chain on those guys really quick when they do that because it's such a huge play, right? So
yeah, better he makes the mistake against a Rutgers versus a Michigan or Penn State or something, you know, like that.
Right, but over the course of the season, the guy's going to muff a punt, especially up here in the Big Ten country with the weather and the... That ain't easy.
Right. Yeah, so all in all, skated through it relatively easily. Anything else you want to touch on in the Rutgers game?
Not really, just, you know, ho-hum.
Mm-hmm.
type of game. I didn't even get to watch this one, some of it, all of it live. I had to go back and watch it, and even rewatching it in 40 minutes is almost a snoozer. So
yeah, yeah, you can get the gist of it in about 15 to 20. Yeah, let's jump right into this Penn State game. This is what everybody came for, right? That's why everybody's listening.
I think so.
Like we said, November is for champions, November to remember. Shit's getting real right about now. This is pedal to the metal. Buckle up your chin strap. Take a deep breath, because here we fucking go. We got the Penn State Nits coming into Columbus. Fox Big Noon. And we got Game Day in town from ESPN. We got Fox pregame in town with Herb and the whole enchilada. And also BTN has their tailgate show in town. Columbus is the place to be.
This game for me is a little bit weird in the fact that there ain't too many games in a season that I'm going to say are more important than the last one. But in fact, this year it is more important. This is for the Big Ten. Whoever wins this gets to play in Indianapolis and may or may not have a nice shot to get into that playoff. Mm-hmm. Michigan game next week, obviously, to lose that game stings more than any. But this game is, there ain't no looking past this one to Michigan. This is all the marbles right here. This is the Big Ten. This is what we come to do. This is a goal. We need this game.
Yeah, we would win the Big Ten East, right? That's a title nowadays.
Outright.
I think Harbaugh made that a title last year. So, yeah. Weather forecast is one thing I started thinking about when I started thinking about Columbus in November. And high of 43, low 32 as of right now. As we know, shit like that can change in Ohio immediately. 20% chance of rain and light wind. So, looks like a good recipe for us because we're going to throw the shit out of the ball probably. But the Nits come into town 9-1 overall, 6-1 in the conference. Only loss was to Minnesota, so maybe it knocks a little bit of the luster off this game, you could say. It would have been much, much bigger deal if they were undefeated.
That's another reason to hate Penn State, you know? Come on. How do you lay down to the Gophers?
Right. Who just got rowboated in Iowa.
Mm-hmm.
Apparently you can't row a boat through corn. Let's see. 2018, last year, we remember the big comeback with D-Wayne Train. Come from behind win in Crappy Valley. Two TDs late in the fourth. Ben Vick had that crazy 47-yard TD catch and run.
Oh, yeah.
That was like an all-timer.
That kind of turned it around right there. That was like, all right. Yeah. Let's go, boys. That was the game. We had to score another one after that, if I remember right. But
that was
that only, had to happen right then.
Yeah.
There's no time left.
It was like 7 or 8 minutes left in the game when that took place. Then D got a stop, and KJ came through with the game winner. Defense.
I think I'm going to go back and watch that game again. That was a good game.
Yeah. Defense gave up 500 yards, so you might want to get some Pepto out for that one.
It's like we did every other game.
Yeah.
Seen that play.
Exactly.
The year before that was an all-timer, too, with
JT, yeah.
Yeah.
He had the touchdown pass to Marcus Ball down the seam. Yep, that was a ball game. So you know these characters. We've seen and heard a lot of these cocksuckers through recruiting. We targeted many of the guys, and they've targeted many of our guys. So these two teams, I feel, know each other really well. Don't forget Justin Fields was originally committed to Penn State before he flipped to Georgia. A lot of these guys that we're going to face on their defense, Micah Parsons, Gross Matos and his stinky Gatos. PJ Mustafa, Cam Brown, Lamont Wade, Shaka Tony. Let me rock Shaka Tony. Jason Owe. These guys are all over our recruiting boards. So that's what our offense is going up against. But I will point out a very obvious weak spot, and that is their pass defense. 91st in the country. They're giving up 250 a game.
That could be trouble for them. I'm with you, though, on a lot of these kids. And that Micah Parsons, I mean, you know what? It's a good thing he did go on the set of SportsCenter or whatever game day when they were in town. Because if we'd have Micah Parsons with Young and his boy, that just wouldn't be fair. Cause that yeah. dude's a flat-out baller.
Yep. Blame another one on Herb Street. Cost us a fucking recruit. 5-star.
Right.
Thanks, Herbie. Keep working it. But I went back and did some digging here on this pass defense for Penn State. So last 5 weeks, let's go. 5 weeks ago, they gave up 286 to Iowa. Iowa, okay? They gave up 276 to Michigan. They gave up 265 to Sparty. Fucking Sparty.
Ooh.
339 to Minnesota in the L they took. And then 371 last week at home to Indiana.
Wow.
Yeah. They barely got out of their own stadium with the dub against Indiana.
Well, and I think Indiana, I thought I looked at that stat line, maybe it was different. I think Indiana's quarterback's like 22 or 24. I mean, just lighting mm-hmm. them up. Something crazy.
That was their backup quarterback, though. Peyton Ramsey, whoever. Not the Penix guy. Penix guy is still injured. Is that nuts?
I rub some dirt on and get back in there. No, it's Penix. It's not nuts.
What? Peanuts? So, very interesting to me, especially these last 2 weeks where they're giving up well over 300 yards passing. Although, I will say, their rush defense is fifth in the country, only giving up 84 yards per game. But JK and the O-line love a challenge like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
We've seen this story before.
I think so. And you know what? I'm kind of glad that Rutgers held us kind of in check, frankly. For Ohio State, we still put up 200 rushing. But they did as good as anybody stopping our rush. And so I think that's something for Coach Stud and Day to get on the boys about. Say, hey, man, that ain't going to cut it next week.
Yep.
You know?
Yep. That's true. Yeah.
I think that O-line likes a challenge. I do. And JK.
Yep. Yeah, they love to hear that the other team hasn't allowed, you know, more than 84 yards per game. And you know that his teammates are going to be ribbing JK all week long. You know, so I think Fields and JK all day, and injury wise, my only concerns are Austin Mack. Love to get him back in the fold this week, and then Josh Alibi would be useful to add some depth. Those two guys were still out last week. Not sure what Mack can contribute with being out so many weeks in a row. Would imagine his timing is a little bit off with Justin Fields.
Yeah. What is he out for? He wasn't concussed, was he?
No. No, they don't really release what the issues are.
What about Browning? I didn't see Browning show up on the stat sheet. What's his status?
Yeah, he was out this week. Him, Arnett, and Cooper were all out. Cooper's been out essentially the entire season with a high ankle, I think. The other two, Arnett, his hand is probably bothering him, that broken hand that he's
had
for a while. Baron Browning, I would expect to be back. I'm not sure he's had any serious injury at all. Definitely need all three if we could. At least two out of the three, I expect.
Well, and we also get Chase back, obviously.
Yeah.
I just...
Bury the lead.
Yeah, and I'm wondering if, you know, that it was Maryland and now Rutgers and now heading into the stretch. This way you have to play your best football going forward.
Right.
Are they being overly cautious? Like, hey, you know what, mm-hmm. Coop? We don't need you this week. Browning, you know, get healthy. Same thing, Arnett, we ain't gonna need you this week. We get some of these young guys some PT.
Exactly.
That's so good. I'm that's pretty exciting that, you know, coming into the stretch here, we're a pretty healthy football team.
Yeah, it's a good thing for sure.
I mean, I read about some of these other teams that are just beat to piss, and it helps that we got the depth that can get us through those times.
Yeah, definitely. You don't want to be beat up at this time of the year. And those two bye weeks definitely helped, especially the last one right after Wisconsin, because that was a slobber knocker. On defense, Buckeyes are coming in number one in the country in yards allowed per game at 216. Clemson's number two, and they're like 20 yards behind us. Points per game, we're number one at 9.8. Rushing defense, sixth in the country at 90 yards per game. Pass defense, first in the country, 126 per game. And as you mentioned, the Predator has been unleashed. I like our chances. Sir. I like our chances there. We need all hands on deck here, obviously. Their quarterback, Sean Clifford, a Cincinnati kid. He was a four-star coming out of high school. Right now, he's passing at like a 60% completion rate, 22 TDs, 6 INTs. I will say he has 5 INTs on the road.
Some pretty solid numbers, though. I didn't realize this kid was doing that well until I started looking through stats on this game. I mean, but 2,500 yards and 22 TDs to, what, 6 picks? You know, that's pretty good for your average. You know, not everybody can be Haskins and Fields.
Yeah, through 10 games.
250 and 2.2 touchdowns a game. That's pretty solid.
Yeah. He's probably got a handful on his legs as well.
Yeah.
Running backs, they kind of have a committee going right now, but the one that scares me the most is that Journey Brown. The kid has game-breaking speed. You got Ricky Slade and Devin Ford also, guys that we recruited, filling in here and there with spot duty. But Journey Brown seems to get the bulk of the carries, and he can break a game wide open.
I haven't watched. I mean, I know those names. I know Ford. I know Slade. I don't remember this Brown kid so much. But, yeah, they're going to keep running the ball with their team. And you know what? If we got Borland out there, I think that anytime you got like a speed type of guy, you're trying to get Borland on him and trying to take that mismatch.
Yeah. Yeah. Outside, you got KJ Hamler. He went down with a concussion last week against Indiana. I would assume he'll be back this week. He looked fine on the sideline. I don't think he's going to sit out this game at all. And then their tight end Freiermuth, he can be a little bit of a force down the seam on over the middle and stuff, but I would assume that we got something for his ass. We haven't had tight ends beat us up too bad this year.
We really haven't.
You know,
we didn't play Iowa this year, right?
That's true. So yeah, the key from my point of view is stop Journey Brown, stop KJ, and contain Clifford when he decides to take off with the ball. He's kind of a McSorley type, but a little less shifty and probably not as fast.
I would think our pass rush is going to get in his head a little bit. Yeah. And they're going to struggle. For Penn State to have a chance in this, it's going to have to be a low-scoring affair, I feel. Their D's going to need to show up and just play lights out and try and keep us under 30.
Yeah, I still don't know.
I don't know if it can be done.
I'm not sure they can put up 30, though. That's the thing. If you can keep us around 28 to 31, good job. But can your offense match that is my question, because this is not the same Buckeye defense they've seen in the past, especially last year. So,
especially last year.
Yeah, exactly. So let's dig into our microscopes here on offense. Who do you have? Who are you looking at?
Well, I just got to go with my guy now because is he my new favorite player? I think he might be Chris Olave.
Okay. Senor Smooth.
Look at it alive. Senor Smooth. I'm looking for Olave to have a nice game. He seems to be, you know, him and KJ seem to be Fields' go-to, even though Vic finally showed up and had a huge game. Again, I just, with what Olave did, those catches, how smooth that kid looks, how hard he works, I'm going with Olave.
Okay. I'm going JK. I think this is his type of game. And I think he could easily take over this game and go for 200.
Oh boy, I'd love to see that. You know, with JK, it seems, you know, if he can get going, he'll run hard and bang in there, and might have a couple of runs early, and then he'll get that 7-yard run, and then he'll get a 13, and then he breaks off a 40 something. And once he, if he can ever get to like breaking off those 17, 20s, then he just goes off. It seems right. Like every time he touches it, it's seven's like the shitty run, and everything else is like 17, and just starts hammering them. So, man, I would love to see that. Yeah. That defense, though, I think is legit.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Their front seven
but,
is.
But can we guess them? I think this is the type of team where Penn State's got some good players right now, but I think that we can gas them. Mm-hmm. So I would like to see with JK, and you got to sustain a couple drives. But get some decent drives, use some tempo, and wear these guys out and just keep hammering the rock with JK. And I agree, it can be done.
Yeah. Yeah, so big question here is, who do you have on defense on your microscope?
Well, you know I'm stealing the one that you want. Is you got to go with Chase Young, free Chase Young. Chase Young's back.
Yeah.
And, you know, let's see where he's at. He should be well-rested. A little bit salty, I'm hoping.
A little bit.
And
fuck. He might kill somebody. But, he might actually take somebody's head off.
Let's see. I mean, Chase Young, I don't know, maybe he's contrite about the whole thing. I'm anxious to see what he does, what he comes out with. Is it just, hey, I'm glad to be back, sorry for what I did, and kind of low energy? Or is it like, all right, motherfuckers.
Yeah,
let's go.
You know, you have to assume he's coming out emotional. Can he control that and utilize it, or does he let it be too much and take control of him? You know, I think he's good at controlling his emotion and using it to beat his man that's in front of him. So we'll see. You know, he's faced some adversity for the first time, and it'd be interesting to see how he reacts. So, I'm going to take Malik, though. I'm going Malik Harrison on my microscope. I think this is going to be a big day for him, coming from the weak side. I would imagine he's going to be tasked with cutting down the run and also helping out with containing Clifford. He's had some quiet big games recently, especially on the tackle numbers. So I'm going to look for him to have one of his biggest games. And his days are winding down also as a Buckeye. People forget that.
That's true. The guy's had a great season, great career. But right now, what is Malik Harrison? Malik Harrison, to me, he's a lock for a mid-round pick in the draft, but he turns it up here the last few weeks, you know, get there to that second round, somewhere in there. I think he's got things to prove. I think he's got those skills to do it. That dude just balls. I mean, Mr. Consistent. How do you not like that guy?
Yeah, he's a good tackler. Racks him up, and he just quietly does his job. He's not super flashy and crazy athletic. We've seen him recently go up and make some bat down some balls over the middle that were intended to get over top of him. And he just fucking uses that vertical, you know, and just skies.
Goes the big Mutombo? No, no, no.
That's right. Malik Mutombo. Yeah. So Score predictions. Buckeyes, as of right now, favored by 18.5. I was hoping that would come down a little bit so I could grab a taste of maybe a 17. But
it's scary, man. That's a lot.
That's 3 touchdowns to you and me.
3 touchdowns against, what are they ranked?
Oh, I don't
know. Top 10? Number 9. They're ranked 9.
Mm-hmm.
You're giving 3 touchdowns to a top 10 team? That scares me to death.
Yep.
I don't see there's any reason we won't cover, but damn.
So, over-under just came out today. It's 58.
Well, if I'm looking at my sheet, I'm sticking with my original prediction.
Okay.
I like it.
Okay. I'm kind of liking mine, too, actually. A little higher scoring affair. I'm going 41-17. Sean is going 35-10, correct?
Yep. So I got the cover and the under.
Mm-hmm.
This week we didn't cover and got the over. I'm flipping that around. Mm-hmm. We're going cover, under.
Funny, mine lands right on the over, under, at 58.
Pay your bookie.
Yeah. So this is it, folks. That's the big one. Got to win this one, and there's no looking forward. It's win this week and move on. So kind of a survive in advance, you know, March Madness kind of thing.
Well, it's, you know, they got to right to where they need to be. So it's exactly where you needed to be, and you're here. Everything is in front of you, and you play some really good football teams coming up. Well, have them ready, and I think they will.
Yeah.
Kind of glad they looked a little bit sloppy against Rutgers. Not even sloppy, just, I don't know, not as crisp as they typically are, say, on defense.
Yeah. But we are 10-0. So let's talk about this Big Ten real quick. We've got a few games that took place over the weekend. First and foremost, the Battle of the Toilet. Sparty went to Michigan, got smashed. But that's what Michigan does to bad teams. They crush them. They try and look good and rack up points when they can. Sean, how did you take in that game?
I was sitting there looking at it. It was basically what everyone thought it would be. Was watching with a bunch of Sparty fans. And, you know, the first quarter looked great. First half was still a game. But the bottom line is, Sparty just, they don't have the dudes right now. They don't have the coaches right now.
Yeah.
It's time for D'Antonio to move on. I was hoping D'Antonio would have given him a win for the Gipper talk in the locker room. Say, hey, guys, it's my last rodeo against Michigan.
Yeah.
Need to leave it all out there. But with Bocce gone, I was watching that game. Whoever filled in for Bocce is so slow. I mean, I was watching this guy run this lab. I'm like, what the hell is that? I mean, it was a high school kid out there. I kind of felt bad for him. He's like, oh, man. And he didn't want to be out there looking like an idiot. He's like, fuck, coach, you're gonna put me out there? It's not setting him up for success by any means. I feel that it's going to be, and I probably said this every week, that game didn't matter as far as D'Antonio is concerned. I think D'Antonio needs to go. I think all the Michigan State fans I know all think it's time for D'Antonio to go. They all love him. The big debate we were having is, do you build a statue for D'Antonio? I'm vehemently against the statue for D'Antonio. He's their all-times wins guy. But he ain't. I said, you know, a plaque maybe, but not a fucking statue. I mean, what, everybody gets a statue? You get a statue. You get a statue.
Yeah.
You know, Woody deserves a statue. Woody does, but I don't think necessarily Urban should get a statue or Trestle.
Okay.
And just because, again, I told him, I said, well, just because he's all-time winning, I said, well, the all-time winner is coached before him. Did you guys have a statue for him? And they're like, no. I said, so why do you give it for this? It's a mediocre record. You know, I mean, it's not like you won your 3 national championships and had an 800 winning percentage.
Right.
So regardless, the move here is, the move, to me, the only move that is visible to me at this point is Sparty goes hard for Luke Fickell.
And the other guy is Matt Campbell at Iowa State. I would actually be – that would be my first phone call, I think.
Well, to me, and you might know this better than me, to me why Fickell makes the most sense is because Luke Fickell knows every freaking high school coach in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. And if Sparty wants to be good, they do it through Ohio. There's no other way. That's how they've always done it. That's their only way to do it. And so I think that what Fickell has in Ohio with recruiting and the knowledge of that state, I think is invaluable. This other guy, I don't know. Where's he out of? He said out of Iowa State, but.
No, he coached at Toledo, remember?
Okay.
He turned that program around. So he's definitely embedded in the state. That's not a recruiting's not an issue. I would say, and he needs to level up, you know, as the kids would say. So I think it would be an upgrade from Iowa State for sure, you know, in facilities.
I don't know, is
and
it?
And pay. Yeah, definitely in pay for sure.
Yeah.
So, you know, they're a middle tier.
They paid D'Antonio. When D'Antonio's winning there, I mean, D'Antonio's probably, he wasn't the top five paid coach, but he was top 15 paid coach.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and, you know, Iowa State is a much smaller campus, smaller college, and they don't pay as well. I mean, it's a middle tier Big 12 school, you know, which Big 12 is not respected anyways.
Yeah, well, it's a middle tier Big 12 school that maybe a young coach might think he can win. Now you're going to send him to a middle tier Big 10 East team that good luck winning with Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State every year,
right,
and teams like Indiana that are going to give you fits.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, the Spartan job right now is you're definitely not going to get a seasoned guy. Nobody's going there for that challenge. Nobody.
Yeah.
It's dawning. I mean, Harbaugh hasn't come close with all the money known to man.
He gets his 9 or 10 wins.
Right?
And
you know what? Frankly, talking with those guys, if Sparty were getting the 9 and 10 wins, mm-hmm, the 10-win seasons, they love those 10-win seasons.
Yeah.
You know, if they can just rack up 10-win seasons, like, all right, we're legit.
Right.
They know for Ohio State, when we have a 10-2 season, we're pissed.
Right.
something went drastically wrong.
Right. That's the other thing, though, is there's only so many coaches to choose from. So you got like maybe 5 dudes you could choose from. Otherwise, just stick with the guy you have. You know, it's the same with Michigan. They're not going to find somebody to come in and win more than 9 or 10 games a year.
Well, one of the guys was pissed about, and again, they're all big D'Antonio fans, but they're like, the shitty thing is he's leaving this program in the exact same way he found it, in shambles.
Yeah. Yeah, it does kind of look like the cupboards are bare, and you have to assume that the entire coaching staff is getting whacked because they've really underperformed. No matter how much he's rearranged it,
I think the only way that some of them say is if Fickell's the guy. Fickell's got, I don't know, but Fickell's got to have ties to some of those D'Antonio boys through the Ohio State chain, and
oh, yeah,
and you know, maybe there's a guy, maybe there's a few guys on there that he thinks, you know, hey, I'd love to have your services, but I don't think he'd just step in and keep the staff like D'Antonio and say, all right, you know, everybody get up and move one chair over. Now you're quarterback's coach.
Right.
You're coach.
Right.
I mean, that was just dumb, D'Antonio.
Right. And yeah, that's not going to happen. I would be shocked if somebody kept one, maybe two of those old guys. I mean, that Mike Tressel, maybe. I think he's Jim Tressel's grandson, something like that.
No, I think he's a nephew.
Nephew? Okay. But he's not keeping Jim Bowman.
You might keep Bowman for O-line coach. I don't know.
Maybe.
I don't think you'd give him any more than that. I don't know what he does now. Like I said, they all changed their jobs. I mean, how weird is that? I mean, can you imagine if Ohio State had a bad year? First of all, we usually fire the coaches. see Ash and Shiano, and you know, right. shit ain't working out for us. It's out the door. But can you imagine if next year Ryan Day said, "All right, stud, I want you on linebackers. Coach Johnson, you take the running backs.
Right.
Alfred, you're quarterbacks coach now." I mean, mm-hmm. it just doesn't make any sense.
Yeah, well, that day will never come to Ohio State, but yeah, we'll see what happens there. Penn State, they were favored by 14 versus Indiana. Struggled, and IU gave up a dumb fake punt call. Jesus, it was the worst. And that might have cost them the game, I don't know. So Penn State escapes Happy Valley with a touchdown victory.
They were down kind of big in that, weren't they? Couple scores at one point.
It might have been. But, yeah, it was not a good game for Penn State. I was less than impressed, especially with that pass defense, man. I mean, that's a big problem. Big, big problem. You know, they were never behind. They led throughout the game. But it was close throughout. Penn State.
Are you sure? I could have sworn I looked up that scoreboard. I'm going to that game right now.
Well, maybe in the middle of a first quarter. But they.
I thought they were getting worked in that game.
It was 17-14 after the first.
Well, that's them anyway.
Yeah. So Minnesota, as predicted, went into Iowa and couldn't get it over.
I knew it. I called that shit.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. Just when you want to root for those poor bastards, they go and pull a dipshit move like that.
They can't have nice things.
They can't.
They don't know what to do with it. You give them an undefeated, nice record, no losses, and they just piss it away. And you know, we've seen how things can happen in Iowa. So, not surprised that happened.
And I knew that, and I frankly have no faith in them to beat Wisconsin, and I think it'll be Wisconsin on that side again.
Yeah, it's still up in the air, though. It's Whiskey or Mini, one or the other.
Well, yeah, that the winner of that game goes, right? But that to me is why you look at someone like Row Your Boat Fleck, and those jobs over on that side of the Big Ten, those are kind of juicy jobs, I feel. If I'm a young up-and-coming coach, okay, do I want to take the Michigan State job that plays Michigan, Ohio State, Penn State every year?
Right.
Or do I want to go over here and I've got to compete with Wisconsin and Iowa and maybe Nebraska every now and then?
Yeah, I mean, Illinois.
To me, there's a way to get, you know, some serious cred, sneak your way into a Big Ten championship game, you know, once every couple years.
Yeah. Yeah, Nebraska just extended Scott Frost for 2 years.
I think Michigan State are both probably kicking themselves in the ass for not looking at P.J. Fleck a year ago.
Yeah, we'll see. I'm not sure how long that rowboater shit is going to last. I'm not sure it works at a bigger school that has an established culture. Minnesota, he went into it with no real culture. You know, it's like an empty blackboard. So he kind of got to create things there himself. So I think he'll be around for a while, though.
I got to say, though, hats off. You know what? Your second year in the Big Ten with the Minnesota Gophers,
mm-hmm.
and you were ranked 7 in the College Football Playoff Committee, and you were 9-0, and still have a chance to win that. To me, that says a lot. I mean, Minnesota, mm-hmm. when's the last time they've even been decent? Right.
And they're actually, I would say, a more balanced team than Wisconsin. They can throw and run the ball, where Wisconsin is a one-dimensional team, as always. You know, they haven't changed a bit.
Yeah, but Minnesota can't play D. is their problem.
Sure. I would say Wisconsin's D is okay. Nothing great. But coming up this week, we have one big Big Ten game, and that is Michigan going to Indiana. Going to be interesting. Yeah, exactly.
Going down to Trapsylvania.
Exactly, yeah. Step lightly, Wolverines.
And not that it's a trap game, because once your season's already over, is it really a trap anymore? I mean, it's...
Yeah. They think they have stuff to play for, apparently.
Well, they do, because if Penn State were to beat us, and then Rutgers also beat Penn State, and Michigan beat us too, that door might have closed. I think there was a mathematical something that had to happen, but Rutgers beating Penn State was one of the things that had to happen.
Oh. Well,
but that might have been before these games.
Yeah, Penn State beats us, they would get into the Big Ten Championship.
Oh, that's right.
By tiebreaker. It doesn't matter what happens at Michigan. So, Michigan got two losses, though. So this Indiana game is very interesting to me. Right now, Michigan's favored by 8, which is not a huge margin. What chaps my ass is this... Indiana has 3 losses and they're still not ranked, whereas Texas, I know it's Texas and everything, the burn orange and all that happy shit, and you know, hook, you know, horns up, don't do the horns down or you'll get arrested. Texas with 4 losses is ranked 19th. Somebody needs to explain this to me.
And 2 of their losses, okay, we blew them out. But they were right there with number 9 Penn State. They got that ugly Michigan State loss.
Right. I think that there's some bullshit. And I know it's about the brand. You know, you got the Texas brand out there. It's much bigger, you know, than in Indiana, you know.
Well, I mean, it was the same with what was going on with Minnesota. Granted, their 9-0 was like pretty shabby looking,
flimsy for sure,
but still they were, you know, talk about the disrespect. Where were they at before they beat Penn State? Like 17, 18, somewhere in there,
right?
Yeah. undefeated.
Yeah, kind of. In my opinion, it shows you the disrespect that the mid-level Big Ten teams get, and just the Big Ten in general. Just my opinion. This week, we also have the SEC warm-up games. Alabama and Auburn both warming up against Meatloaf Tech and Southwest Salisbury Steak. Nothing exciting there. Really, this Ohio State-Penn State game is the game to watch, in my opinion.
I hate that the SEC does that.
Yeah. That's smart. If you can do it, you know. If you can play only 8 conference games, why would you book 9? If you can get away with it, you know.
Well, and I get it, and it's kind of huge, and that sucks for the divisions that do have to play 9. That's why you open up the frickin' playoff and add 4 more teams, and people won't be so scared to have a tough schedule, especially out of conference, because you can play tough out of conference teams and still win your conference, win the championship of your conference, and get in the playoff.
Yeah.
To me, that's how the product gets better.
I think if you want a tougher schedule, play another conference game, because those are teams in line with your talent level, you know? Quit scheduling, you know, 3 of these low tier group of 5 teams, you know.
Then Bush League, man.
It is.
Bush League.
Yep. It's pussy football. Who do you have right now? First of all, I got to offer let's get into the quick top 4 for your college football playoffs. I do want to offer thoughts and prayers to Tua's hip and Alabama's playoff chances, both. Sorry to see you both go, and you won't be missed. To me, though, I do want to point out, to me, this is another example of how Saban fucking works his guys, like practices them so hard, uses them. I mean, especially running backs. I know Tua's injuries took place in games and stuff like that, but he practices them fucking hard. And there's another weird point that I need to make, and I don't know if people know this or even care, but Alabama is one of the only schools that does a surgery on a high ankle sprain. So they're doing like their own surgeries on high ankle sprains, where everybody else, all other universities, their doctors won't operate on that.
Really?
Yeah. I don't know the details of, you know, the pros versus cons, you know, why every other school in the country won't touch it, but Alabama will. Seems a little odd to me that one school thinks they have much better doctors, especially in the South.
They've done it for a player or two, or that's like the standard thing.
Well, they did it for Tua. I don't know if they do it for everybody, but it's seemingly what they do. They, as a school, do surgery on these high ankle sprains.
Well, you know what? It works.
To what degree of long-term effect, though? It just seems like it's a little, I don't know. Who's making the call on this is my question. Is the coach making the call on this? Or is the doctor? Or is the player?
I want the player to be making the call, frankly.
Right.
And I hope, you know, I guess you never know in college sports. Kid gets hurt, you know, you got the team positions in that. And, you know, they're obviously biased, right? They're for the team. Now, you hope that, you know, I'm sure if you ever interviewed one of them, they'd say, well, I'm all about the kids. I'm all about the kids. You know, it's always player safety. But, you know, maybe, maybe not. I wonder if the kids have access to a good, not university involved second opinion.
Not for free, like I wouldn't think.
Right. Well, maybe it should be for free. Like part of your scholarship to say, hey, our physician is going to tell you one thing. You can go get a second opinion with whoever you like, and we cover it.
Right. Yeah, I don't think that's the case, but I just think that it seems a little dicey when the doctor probably reports to the coach.
Right.
You know, especially in Saban's case.
And well, you see all these, you know, because, you know, the fuzzy math behind concussions.
Right.
You know, how many kids are getting back out there and not going through the proper protocol?
Yeah, or
I'd say probably even to this day, only 20% of the concussions are handled within the protocol. Most go unnoticed.
Yeah.
Most aren't talked about, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah. I think this is probably the case. Think of it, look at it from a player's point of view. Say you're Tua, you just sprained your ankle, you got a high ankle sprain, and the doctor comes to you and says, okay, here are
4 to 5 weeks.
Here's your options. You can rehab it and play in 6 weeks, or we can give you this surgery, you can play in 3 to 4 weeks. Obviously, the player is going to choose the shorter term. You know, get me on the field as quickly as possible.
I wouldn't. I don't want cut, man. I don't know that they all would. I don't know that they would all take that. I mean, I think guys don't want to go under the knife. And if it was, okay, it's going to be 5-6 weeks and you're going to miss the playoffs, or, you know, it really all depends on the timing of it, too.
Well, I think most kids want the fastest route to get back on the field, especially the quarterback, you know, who knows what's behind him on the depth chart, like a Tua. I think he wants to get on
the field. I don't know what's on the depth chart behind him. I know it's not Jalen Hurts.
Exactly.
Who is it?
It's what's the guy's name? Mac Jones or something like that. I don't know. Put it this way, they were up 31-7 when Tua went down in the second quarter, and the final score was 38-7.
Yeah, I saw that.
So, old Mac Jones is not racking up the points on the scoreboard. So, before we get out of here, let me get your top four for the football playoffs.
Okay, well, I'll start off. I'll put my Homer glasses away. I'll give LSU number one.
Yeah.
Number one spot, just like these other clowns are doing. And I'll slot the Buckeyes in at number two. Buckeyes, to me, probably have the toughest road to get into the playoffs at this point.
Okay.
With Penn State, Michigan, and a Big Ten championship game back-to-back-to-back here.
Mm-hmm.
You look at the SEC schools, like you mentioned, they've got the cupcake thing. So LSU, I think, has an easier path. Who's their rivalry game? Who do they play next week or the following week?
Well, LSU will have the SEC championship game at the end of the season. I'm not sure they have a tough game coming up. They shouldn't, because
I don't know if they're
they got Arkansas and Texas A&M, so no, they're done.
Right. So I mean, yeah, they should roll through that. They got Georgia. They got a tough game in Georgia, no doubt about it.
Yep.
Clemson's got nobody.
Right.
So anyway, I got LSU 1. I got Ohio State 2. I go Clemson 3, who basically gets to walk into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And I'm disagreeing with you. I think I got Bama at 4. I think Bama gets in. I think Shade the Car. We're used to it. We saw this, man. JT Barrett goes down. Cardale Jones, backup quarterback. The only disadvantage Bama's going to be at, they got Cupcake U this week, right?
Mm-hmm.
So get this new kid a little game experience, and then they go to play the Iron Bowl.
Yep.
Auburn, that's a real football game
yeah.
with the new quarterback. And if Alabama, like we did against Wisconsin in the Big Ten championship game that year, if Bama can dominate Auburn, LSU beats Georgia, Bama's getting that fourth spot. I don't know who else is going to jump them. Oklahoma?
I got Georgia.
Oregon? Yeah.
So I basically, let me give you mine. I have the same top three, LSU, OSU, Clemson, but I got Georgia at the number four hole, and that's before they play the SEC championship game. That will change things for sure, depending what happens. Yeah, I can somewhat agree with you. If Bama,
I don't know,
you've got
Alabama that barely lost to LSU number one, and a Georgia who got beat by the Cox.
LSU controlled that game. That score was not indicative of the game.
I agree with that, but at least LSU's legit. The Cox are not.
Georgia, yeah, I know they took a bad loss, and I'm
and only... that was in Death Valley.
Right. What? Georgia was at home.
The Bama game was in Death Valley, and Georgia was at home and lost to the Cox.
No, the LSU game, that was in Tuscaloosa.
That was in Tuscaloosa. That's right.
Yeah. They dominated that game in Tuscaloosa. That's why I give them basically a free license in. They could probably even lose the SEC championship game and get in on the resume.
Well, that would be the way that Bama doesn't get in. If Georgia were to beat them in the SEC championship, then I think LSU would drop to 4 and Bama would be out.
You know what really pisses me off is that we're coming to the realization that, yes, there are going to be 2 SEC teams in the fucking playoffs.
I don't see how there's not. I mean, unless, Oklahoma or Oregon?
No. I can't even consider those teams. Oklahoma has to come back in every game. They get down early to freaking Baylor and K-State and shit. These guys are a joke. Jalen Hurts is not that good a quarterback. I can understand why they let him go. He throws some wildly stupid balls, just whipping them into double coverage. He makes bad decisions with his arm.
You got a lot of balls, kid.
Does. So, yeah, I got Georgia at the four hole as of right now, only because I take injuries into account, just like the playoff committee says they do. They take injuries into account. So that's why I keep Bama out of my top four, because of the Tua injury, and I'm not sure how they can respond. Now, this is also subject to change next week, you know. I don't even know who Georgia plays, but if they look like shit, then I could easily move them down. But I think the Iron Bowl, you know, 2 weeks from now is going to be the key deciding factor.
And if Alabama smokes Auburn, which they shouldn't, right? I mean, Auburn's a decent football team.
Yeah, they shouldn't, but it could happen. You know, like you said, you know, they need to put up style points, just like Ohio State did to Wisconsin in 2014. You know.
Yeah, it was like, yeah, you don't take the foot off the gas at any point.
Yep. If you can rack up a nice 59-0 burger, then that works out well for you.
Good luck on you. Those aren't easy to rack up.
Nope. Not with a second or a third string quarterback.
That was freaking clutch.
A little bit. So clutch. That was a little bit.
We win that game 42-24. We're not in.
No. So, all right, folks, let's get ready for this Penn State game. Got all the major networks coming to town. And as of right now on Twitter, a lot of my followers are boycotting ESPN and going to the Fox set and the BTN set. So pick one of those two and screw ESPN. They don't need more fans. Kirk Herbstreit will still get his paychecks. Trust me. And we don't need to see Lee Corso stumble around with a fucking Brutus Buckeye on his head. Let's just let that guy go out to pasture.
You think we can throw a hate Penn State shirt on Corso?
Ooh, that'd be interesting. Anybody that can do that, I will work out a deal with you. But yeah, folks, don't forget, hit the BuckeyeCast.com, get those We Hate Penn State shirts, and order those babies up ASAP. You're going to want that for the game. Nice bright red, drown out that ugly fucking white that they wear.
What kind of shipping you got on that?
Oh, we got three different options. You got three different options. I would recommend the expedited. That'll get it there like next day. So I would go that route. You could do the 2-day if you order it, like, you know, by Wednesday. But I would hurry up and get your orders in. You're definitely going to want those. And we got a bunch of Michigan shirts coming out for the following week as well. So keep your eyes peeled for that. So, Sean, thank you for joining
maybe
us.
Maybe we want to get those. Maybe
what?
Get them Michigan shirts up early so we can make sure we get them out.
Yeah. I got a couple out right now, actually. I got Make Michigan Our Bitch Again. I got Don't Give a Damn for the Whole State of Michigan. Yeah, we've got three or four options up there with a couple more to come. Order now. So.
And on top of that, speaking of Michigan, everyone check out Meyer busted up Charles Woodson with the 7-0.
Yeah, it was good.
Joe, you sent me that tweet?
Yeah. Yeah, fucking Woodson trying to sing that dumb shit. Dude, you in the wrong house for that. That's Urban's house.
Urban knows 7-0.
Yeah, we have the Michigan shirt. So jump online, grab those shirts, smack them up, flip them, rub them down. Thank you for joining us, Sean. We will see you next time and around. Go Bucks.